Morning. We continue our journey with Sister Faustina. Okay? Now we repeat one passage of last time. Jesus says, "My beloved child, delight of my heart, your words are dearer and more pleasing to me than the angelic chorus. All the treasures of my heart are open to you. Take from this heart all that you need for yourself and for the whole world. For the sake of your love, I withhold the just chastisement which mankind has deserved. A single act of pure love pleases me more than a thousand imperfect prayers." Important, huh? Pure love is more than a thousand imperfect prayers. An act of love is more important. One of the signs of your love atones for many offenses with which the godless overwhelm me. The smallest act of virtue has unlimited value in my eyes because of your great love for me. It is so that lives on me, on my love alone, I reign as in heaven. I watch over it day and night. In it I find my happiness. My ear is attentive to each request of its heart. Often I anticipate his request. O child, especially beloved by me, apple of my eye, rest a moment near my heart and taste of the love in which you will delight for all eternity. So whenever we open ourselves to Jesus, though, Jesus is really open. He acts as a lover, very sweet. It's true. Lonely to see Faustina. Maybe I say once in Toronto, there's a lady who got the stigmata, the five wounds, hand, and she prayed the whole night, usually. At times, Jesus appeared to her. And using the words, just like that. When the soul is open, really loving Jesus, pure love for Jesus and for people, Jesus is always there. His heart is human heart, God's divine heart. Through this heart you can share, you can see so much kindness, so much sweetness. So with Jesus, develop this relationship. But child, you are not yet in your homeland, still on earth. So go, fortified by my grace, and fight for my kingdom in human souls. We still have to struggle. Fight as a king's child would, and remember that the days of your exile will pass quickly, and with them, the possibility of earning merit for heaven. I expect from you, my child, a great number of souls who will glorify my mercy for all eternity. My child, that you may answer my call worthily, receive me daily in Holy Communion. It will give you strength. So, apart from this appearance, communion is important. So every time when you receive Holy Communion, take this opportunity, this openness towards Jesus. Now these words of Faustina. Jesus, do not leave me alone in suffering. You know, Lord, how weak I am. I'm an abyss of wretchedness. I'm nothingness itself. So what will be so strange if you are leaving me alone and I fall? I'm an infant, Lord, so I cannot get along by myself. However, beyond all abandonment, I trust. And in spite of my own failing, I trust that I'm being completely transformed into trust, often in spite of what I feel. So that means to say, humanoid at times feeling his kind of trust. But still, despite all these things, she said, I trust. Do not lessen any of my sufferings. Only give me strength to bear them. You see, she did not let go all her sufferings, but asking for the strength, the grace to go ahead. Do with me as you please, Lord. Only give me the grace to be able to love. To love you in every event and circumstances. Lord, do not lessen my cup of bitterness. Only give me strength that I may be able to drink it all. Discourage. O Lord, sometimes you lift me up to the brightness of visions, and then again you plunge me into the darkness of night and abyss of my nothingness, and my soul feels as if it were alone in the wilderness. Yet above all things, I trust in you, Jesus. You are unchangeable. My moods change, but you are always the same, full of mercy. So she didn't feel all the time feeling the presence of Jesus, all the time with this inspiration. But at times might be in darkness, complete darkness. But she is really still believing. Her words also. Jesus, source of life, sanctify me. All my strength, fortify me. My commander, fight for me. Only light of my soul, enlighten me. My master, guide me. I entrust myself to you as a little child does to its mother's love. Even if all things were to conspire against me, and even if the ground were to give way under my feet, I would be at peace close to your heart. You are always the most tender mother to me, and you surpass all mothers. I will sing of my pain to you by my silence, and you will understand me beyond any utterance. The Lord visited me today and said, my daughter, do not be afraid of what will happen to you. I will give you nothing beyond your strength. You know the power of my grace. Let that be enough. So even us, Jesus gave us sufficient grace to do whatever we have to do. Don't lose hope. Don't lose trust. After these words, the Lord gave me a deeper understanding of the action of His grace. Second paragraph. Before Holy Communion, Jesus gave me to understand that I should pay absolutely no attention to what a certain sister would say. Disturbing, eh? Gossips. It's hurting too. So Jesus said, don't take any care about this. Because her cunning and malice were displeasing to him, Jesus, no. But there was sometimes Jesus allowing all this happen. Huh? He's so merciful. He gives so much freedom, even to bad people to do bad things. But Jesus asked the good people, no, don't be afraid. My daughter, do not speak to this person about either your will or your opinions. You know, because I think maybe that sister is just wanting to take out her things, what Jesus would tell her, and then she was spreading around with all the malice. You know. So Jesus said, don't tell her anything that I tell you. She pretend to be her good friend, tend to be caring, listening, and, you know, taking advantage of innocence. And Jesus said, you must be as pure a dove, but also cunning as a snake. So don't be stupid at times. Then her word, I beg the Lord's pardon for what if that soul was displeasing to him. So he's asking forgiveness for that person too. And I begged him to strengthen me with his grace when we would come to talk with me again. She has asked me about many things, to which I gave answer with all my sisterly love and as evidence that I have spoken to her from the bottom of my heart. I have told her some things that came from my own experience, but her intention was something quite different from the words of her lips. Oh my Jesus, from the moment I gave myself completely to you, I have given no thought whatsoever for myself. You may do with me whatever you like. There is only one thing I think about, that is, what do you prefer? What can I do, O Lord, to please you? I listen and watch for each opportunity. It matters not if I am outwardly judged otherwise in this matter. 1938, January 15. Today, when a sister about whom the Lord warns me came to see me, I armed myself spiritually for battle. Although it cost me much, I did not depart one bit from what the Lord had commanded. But when an hour had gone by and the sister made no move to go, I in theory called upon Jesus to help. She just won't stay until she's revealing something. She's asked help from Jesus. Then I heard a voice in my soul saying, do not fear. I'm watching you this very moment, and I'm helping you. In a moment, I will send you two sisters who are coming to visit you, and then you will find it easy to continue the conversation. And at that moment, two sisters entered, and then the conversation was much easier, even though it lasted for still another half hour. Oh, how good it is to call on Jesus for help during a conversation. Oh, how good it is during a moment of peace to beg for actual graces. So at times when you don't know what to ask for help, call to Jesus to help you. I fear most of all of these sorts of confidential conversation. There is need of much divine light at times like this, in order to speak with prophets, both for the other person's soul and for one's own as well. God, however, comes to our aid, but we have to ask him for it. Let no one trust too much in his own self. January 17, 1938. Today, since early in the morning, my soul has been in darkness. I cannot ascend to Jesus, and I feel as though I have been forsaken by him. I will not turn to creatures for light, because I know that they will not strengthen me if Jesus wills to keep me in darkness. I submit myself to his holy will and suffer. Still, the struggle is becoming more and more desperate. During Vespers, I wanted to unite myself with the sisters through prayer. When I went, in my thoughts, to the chapel, my spirit was plunged in the even greater darkness. Total discouragement came over me. Then I heard Satan's voice. See how contradictory everything is that Jesus gives to you. He tells you to farm a common, and then he gives you sickness. He tells you to set about establishing this feast of mercy, while the whole world does not at all want such a feast? Why do you pray for this feast? It is not inopportune. My soul remains silent, and by an act of will, continue to pray without entering into conversation with the spirit of darkness. Nevertheless, such an extraordinary disgust with life came over me that I had to make a great act of will to consent to go on living. So sometimes the temptation is very strong against God. Then again, I heard the tempter's words, "Ask for death for yourself tomorrow after Holy Communion. God will hear you, for he has heard you so many times before and has given you what you asked for." I remained silent, and by an act of will, I began to pray, or rather, submitted myself to God, asking him interiorly not to abandon me at this moment. It was already 11 o'clock at night, and there was silence all around. The sisters were asleep in the cells, and my soul alone was struggling with great exertion. The tempter went on, "Why should you bother about your other souls? You ought to be praying only for yourself. As for sinners, they will be converted without your prayers. I see that you are suffering very much at this moment. I'm going to give you a piece of advice on which your happiness will depend. Let us speak about God's mercy, and in particular, do not encourage sinners to trust in God's mercy, because they deserve a just punishment. Another very important thing, do not tell your confessors, and especially this extraordinary confessor and the priest in Vilnius, about what goes on in your soul. I know them, I know who they are, and so I want to put you on your guard against them. You see, to live as a good nun, it is sufficient to live like all the others. Why expose yourself to so many difficulties?" Words of the tempter, the evil spirit. I remained silent, and by an act of will, I dwelt in God. Although a moan escaped from my heart, finally the tempter went away, and I, exhausted, fell asleep immediately. In the morning, right after receiving Holy Communion, I went immediately to my cell, and falling on my knees, I renewed my act of submission in all things to the will of God. "Jesus, I ask you, give me the strength for battle. Let it be done to me according to your holy will. My soul is enamored of your most holy will." At the moment, I saw Jesus, who said, "I'm pleased with what you are doing, and you can continue to be at peace if you always do the best you can in respect to this work of mercy. Be absolutely as frank as possible with your confessor. Satan gained nothing by tempting you, because you did not enter into conversation with him." No conversation with the devil. Don't argue, don't tell any reasons. Keep silent. "Continue to act in this way. You gave me great glory today by fighting so faithfully. Let it be confirmed and engraved on your heart that I am always with you, even if you don't feel my presence at the time of battle." You see, real suffering. She's so weak. Usually, during weakness, the devil enters. So ask for special grace. Always faithful. Now we say